Okay, so first off, I want to start this video off by showing you another book that I got, because I got so deep into the Leonardo da Vinci book, and I really liked it so much that I said I'm going to read all these motherfuckers over here now. So this is another book I got. It's a thick book, so I don't know if it's going to be a lot of pictures or it's going to be a lot of, like, you know, a lot of actual words. I don't know, because it's in plastic wrapping, but I'm going to buy it and read it, because I got really into, and it's a cool drawing on the back. Like, I'm assuming that's Jesus and those two other motherfuckers. I don't know. But it's a good picture. Anyway, I've been thinking about this part three of Heaven for Men, because I didn't forget about making this part of it, but I also really wanted to think it out. I just drank some pop. I really wanted to think it out with and think out what I was going to say. Without having it be without being perceived as a snob, right? Because my life is pretty fucking ridiculous. It can be a little ridiculous, okay? First off, I want to start off by saying this. No matter how good or bad you have it, there's always somebody better than you and worse than you. There's always somebody looking at you saying, dang, I wish I could do that. And there's always somebody looking down at you like, that motherfucker's behind. Like, they're just like with women, they always have their beta orbiters, and then the alpha fucks dudes. It's the same thing with everything in life like that. So, like, whatever it is you're doing, there's always somebody who's doing it better than you. Okay, I can't stress that enough. I really can't. Another big thing that for me was a tough thing for me to work through was realizing that that comparison is always going to bring you down. Like, never compare your life to someone else's. Like, never, just never do that. That's probably the one of the core reasons as to why so many people in the world, you know, walk around like they just fucking hate their life, because they're all like, just don't compare your life to anybody else's. Like, just, like, if I had to give advice on it, I would say, man, just pay attention to your life and find the good and bad in it. I mean, if you can find a way to work up to something better, definitely do it. But don't make it as like a necessity. You see, because the only you really don't have necessities. Other than, like, you know, to eat, sleep, you know, shit, stuff like that. But I don't really know how to properly explain it. Because the easy way out would be for me to just say, look, just be happy with your life and shut the fuck up. But that's just too generic. That's just too broad. It doesn't explain like the inner workings of it. And for me, this is where philosophy really helped me. And listening and reading to other philosophers helped me with understanding. Because see, and to be honest with you, this is why I don't prefer religion. This is why I prefer philosophy tenfold over religion. Because religions always, most of the time, like legit religions, like Confucius is really a philosophy. Confucius, I don't know how you pronounce it, but you know, the Confucius motherfucker, like that's really a philosophy. That they call it a religion, but it's really a philosophy when you read it. But like most like legit religions, they usually always circle around this whole thing of you'll get what you want if you just do X. You see what I'm saying? Just do X and then you'll eventually get what you want. So it's this payoff system. You see what I'm saying? This is why I don't like religion personally. And I went to private Christian school for the first 7 years of my life. I probably forgot more Christianity than half the motherfuckers who claim they're Christian ever knew. I probably forgot more Christianity than they ever knew. So I'm speaking off like legit my historical. And then across the street was a Catholic school from my Christian. I went to Central Baptist school. Well, now it's called, I think it's called Central Baptist Academy or something. They changed the name, but it's in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can Google it. That's where I went. And you can see across the street, there's a Catholic school. And I went there for the first seven years of my life. And every Tuesday we had church and, you know, do all that shit. I did it. And like my ultimate conclusion is religions always, and I went off and studied the other religions. They always seem to have this payoff system. And I think that can work for a certain group of people, but it's, I mean, like everything, it's not going to work for everybody. That payoff system, like if you just be good, then you'll get what you want. If you just be nice to your neighbor, then you'll get what you want from me. It's this whole like barter. It's just a bartering system. You see, like you never really like in from my opinion of religions, you don't really learn anything. You just learn to try to sell what other people want to get what you want on the back end of it. And I think that's at the core destroys a lot of people because it just kind of inevitably turns into this just huge bartering. It's just a bartering system for this mystical goal of getting everything that you can ever dream of. Now, like I said, that can work for some people because like there's some people on the planet. The only reason that they're not raping little kids is because they think an invisible man is watching them. That's the only reason why they're not raping women in the back of alleys. It's the only reason why they're not stealing everything from children down the street, because they think an invisible man's watching them and that invisible man is not going to give them what they want later on. So they're not going to do it. So like for those people, they definitely need the shit. Okay. It's the most efficient way to keep them from beating up little children. But now philosophers, like legit philosophers, not these like self-help guys and girls, not these self-help books that are like, you know, 30 pages long or anything, legit philosophers explain your dilemmas. You see what I'm saying? And they'll walk you through things like for instance, the concept of worrying. Like the concept of worrying is fucking crazy. Like when you hear it and read it broken down, like you're like, I didn't realize I did that shit. And that's exactly what I was doing. Because like Alan Watts, he goes in on about worry. I'll try to find it and put it in a link. He goes, like he explains the steps of worry. So first you begin to worry, right? Let's say you have a bill due and you won't be able to pay it, right? So you start to worry, like, oh God, this bill's due, right? So then what's the next step? You start to worry because you're worried. Like, oh, now I'm worried that my bill's getting paid. And then you start to worry because you're worried that you're worried. So it's like, oh, no, so I shouldn't worry about it. And it is, you see, and it just compounds. You see, philosophers, they dive into the actual reality of the human process of thought. You see, this is why I prefer philosophers. And it's not always going to be a pleasant ending. Philosopher's goal is just to get you to realize what you are and accept it. So it's not this whole, like in the philosophy world, it's not going to be, well, look, if you just do this, then you'll get $10 million. You know, like that theory that like Christianity and like the theory that, you know, most mainstream religions have is this whole, if you just do what you're supposed to do, then here, I'll be your ATM, splash, money. Like, I can't explain how much I dislike religion. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. I got a Jesus Christ statue. I should have brought it before I started the video because it'll take me too long to walk to the other side of my flat to get it. But it's this Jesus Christ thing where he's like, it's this like statue of him hanging on a cross. But it's like, it's crazy detail. It's carved out of wood. I'm a huge fan of Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm a fan of Jesus Christ is because, let's say the worst case scenario, religion is bullshit and Jesus was just a crazy motherfucker who, you know, thought he was, you know, God reincarnate. Like there's been numerous other people in the past that done it. They were just crazy and they believed they were Jesus. Even if that is real, my logic is this. I still have to admire the fact that was a man who was willing to die for what he believed in. Even if, let's say, worst case scenario, it was complete bullshit, he was willing to die for that. You see what I'm saying? So I have respect for Jesus Christ. Whether the whole thing is completely 100% true or it's complete bullshit, the end of the story is, the core of the story is, that man was willing to die for what he believed in. I can learn something from that. You see what I'm saying? Like, because I'm not willing to die for nothing right now. So like this, if this motherfucker thought highly enough of anything to put it above himself, there's something that can be taken out of that. You see what I'm saying? And learned from. Like I said, but anyway, off to the topic of heaven for men. And the sheer theory of heaven is hell. Because I think I'm like part one of this. I went into the speech on how the Twilight Zone episode pretty much explained it exactly how I would try to explain it. Heaven would, in theory, become hell. Okay, because it, in the Twilight Zone episode, a great, I think it's a great place to visit or a nice place to visit. The bank robber, he goes and robs a bank and he gets shot and killed by police. And this man in a white suit comes and takes him, and he assumes it's God. And so he goes off to live this lavish life that he always wanted. So every time he goes and gambles, he wins every time. Every time he wants a bitch, he gets that bitch. She does everything he wants. Every time he wants food, he blinks. It's right there. And at first it was great. But after 2 weeks, he's bored out of his fucking mind. He needed a risk chance. And then and he's asking the guy in the white suit, like, look, I'm bored. Like, how do I get chance? And he goes, oh, we can make a 30% chance. And he's like, no, you don't get it. I can't know that what the chances are. It has to be a complete risk. And he goes, look, this is boring. I think I want to go to hell. And the guy in the white suit goes, oh no, bro, you didn't realize that you were in hell the whole time. And he was stuck to live with that man was stuck to live with what he wanted for the rest of eternity. And that was hell. That is my assumption on what heaven would actually be in reality. Because the reality of it is, okay, let's take my life, for example. I'm not rich. I do some gangster shit. I'm not going to lie. But I'm not rich. Okay. But I think that I've seen enough now. And I've known now. And I know rich people. And I get around in my circles with people and stuff like that. I've seen enough to know that no matter what you get, no, okay, let's say, for instance, I'm playing with this little wire right now. Right now, this is just some basic wire you tie cable up with. Now, now stay with me on this. This is a basic wire you tie a cable up with. Maybe not worth any more than a third of a penny, right? Now, if you chose to, you can keep diving until you find the $500 versions of this. If you keep diving, you can find versions that are $10,000 for some reason, the quality. Maybe it's used in NASA space probes or whatever the fuck. Or maybe just some asshole who wanted to make gold carat, you know, fucking twisty ties. I don't know. But no matter how deep you dive, you can always find it, right? So what I'm getting at is there is never an end to it. Because what will happen is, let's say you upgrade from this, you know, third of a penny, you know, not even worth a penny, and you upgrade the ones that are worth $5, right? What is the human response that you're going to have? It's going to be, oh, well, these are just $5. Those $20 ones, though, that's what I want. You go get the $20 ones. And for a while, you're going to be like, yeah, I got $20 twisty ties, right? Yeah, I'm gangsta, I'm balling. And after a while, you'd be like, man, these are just $20 twisty ties. Anyway, them $100 twisty ties, that's where it's at. You're going to get it will keep growing. You see what I'm saying? You see? So for me to just say, just shut up and be happy, that would be a very quick way of trying to explain what I just did with the theory of the twisty tie. Because in the end, what you'll find is, yeah, maybe I should just shut up and be happy. And like once you've experienced it, because like I said, my experience, like right now, because I just got back home, I just ordered the microphone and I just got back. See right now, well, no, and I bought this book, which I'm happy as fuck to read it. It was $20, son. I can't wait to read it. But right now, I can get a $5 Uber ride to a brothel and go fuck models right now. Yeah, I can go do it. But see, like, this is just part of my realization. See, once you get used to it, it's nothing anymore. Okay, perfect example. And this is a brutal honesty about it. Let me take a swig of my pop. This is going to be brutally honest. But fuck it. This is for educational purposes. So I was watching Pornhub, beating my meat. and some kind of way, I probably because I'm in Prague, like it automatically like sets like porn for where you are. And like brothels in Prague were like in it. So I clicked it. And like I'm watching, like it was a guy with a camera. You could tell he was probably like wearing a camera or some shit like this. And he was walking into the brothel, and I'm like sitting there looking, like yeah, like I know exactly those stairs. I know exactly what's coming up next. And he went in there, fucked like about four or five bitches. And I read the comment section, and people who had never seen brothels, but who clearly had probably never seen brothels or seen this experience, they were going on like, oh my God, this is fucking crazy. Like, this place can't exist. This is unreal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, like, look, motherfucker, this is me every Tuesday. Like, this is what I do. Like, But see what I'm saying? See, I'm bored with it now. See, I've gotten so bored with it. I'm maybe not so bored with it that I am more happy about this book than to go take a $5 Uber ride to go fuck some models. You see what I'm saying? Like, it is never going to end. Like, it's going to be something else. Like, it's always going to be something else. If it's cars, you want a Mustang. You get a Mustang, then you're going to want a Mercedes. You get a Mercedes, then you're going to want a Maserati. You get a Maserati, you're going to want a Lamborghini. It's never it's never going to end. But I will say this. It's easier for me to say it because I've truly experienced it. Because I've made the journey. So I can look back on it and say, yeah, it's nothing, you know. Just like, let's say, like, before I ever drove to New York City from Ohio, like, before it was like, oh my God, New York City. That's the one girl texting me now. I don't know if you can see them. So you know I'm not bullshitting you. That's her texting me and out in the top. ask me if I'm alive. So let's say when I drove to New York, I'm from Ohio, and I drove to New York City. First time, it's like, oh, New York, it's magical. Now, like, I would never drive that again because the Appalachian Mountains through Pennsylvania are so, like, it's just constant uphill, down, constantly, and I hate that shit. It's horrible. But it's like, it's just that thing, like, I've already made the journey, so I can look back on it. Jesus Christ. I can look... Uh-oh. Okay. That was something else that just happened. I've made the journey, so I can look back on it and just be like, meh, nothing. But, I mean, now, and like I said, the reason why it took me so long to make this video is because I didn't want to sound like a snob, okay? Because I know how I can speak, how I walk, talk, and dress. But I don't think you guys really don't see me walk, talk, and dress in public. So I don't think you'll really see that side of me. But I know I can come off like a snob, okay? But I'm really not a fuck. I'll tell you, I pee on bitches, spit in their mouth, you know. I told them the last video was about how I was embarrassed to talk to a girl. like I'm really not a snob, but I think I can appear so much like a snob to where a lot of people would just write me off as just a snob trying to be, you know, cool or something. But no, like I failed the ninth grade. I barely made it through high school. You know, I did all the fucked up shit. Like you know, I've been there. So yeah. So okay, back to the topic. I just wanted to make it clear, I know I can sound like a snob, but I swear to you, I'm with you. In the end, and this, like I said, this I'm going to have a different perspective on it because I've been down both the roads. Like I remember, okay, because then I'm horrible with names, but I remember reading a comment about a guy sleeping in his car. Now, I'm not going to say any names or anything like that, but. I was there when I started college. I tell you how I started college. I started college. I drove a Dodge Stratus. It was a red Dodge Stratus at the time, and I would go to college in the day. I would go to school in the daytime, and at night drive around at least like somewhat safe neighborhoods, and then pretend like I was going to see somebody, and then sleep in the car that night, right? And I did that for like we. I did that between that and sleeping in homeless shelters. Like I've been there. I get it. And bad. I tell you, back then, food stamps were they would give a single male $200 a month for food stamps. And what I would do is I would go. This is illegal to do. I would go sell it for half of that to say so I would have because you could do more damage with half real money than double fake money. You see what I'm saying? So I would sell it, which was illegal to do, to get the $100 and then just live off the $100. And I end up, me and some friends, like, man, we slept in abandoned houses. We slept on floors. I remember one time we slept on a floor and then we woke up the next morning and it was a snowstorm and we were snowed in. We don't even talk about those days anymore, but both of us are like, he's traveling and shit, and I'm traveling. Actually, he's actually staying in my flat now in Ohio while I'm over here. But we don't even talk about it anymore. But when something goes wrong, like he knows to call me because he knows that I know how to maneuver through the underworld. So I remember when I finally did get my first apartment, this is what happened. I stumbled down to a studio apartment and the rent was $250 a month, right? Now, I just told you the math. I only made $100 a month off food stamps. So after that, I had a car. So I would run prostitutes. I would run prostitutes to John. So that's how I really got into the prostitute game, was through that, to make it through college. That's how I did it. So after that, I found out about, in America, we have these things. I'm sure it's around the world, these things called food pantries. Now, if you're in America, you don't know what a food pantry is. What a food pantry is, it like usually churches, not churches chicken, but like churches, like cathedral churches. They probably get some type of tax break or something for giving out, you know, food to people in need. But the catch is you can usually only go to one every 2 weeks. Sometimes it's one a month. So what I did was I diagrammed like, okay, go to this one the first week of the month, go to this one the second week of the month, go to this one the third week of the month, go to this one the fourth week of the month, and just rotate every week. That's how I kept food in my flat. It was all from food pantries. So I would go to school. I would say my first degree was in biotechnology. I would go to school, do my biotechnology thing with the microscopes and shit. I would do all that, leave, go home, go to a food pantry. I have food for the week, and I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't do anything because you ain't had no money. Like, I still remember I remember looking at my bank account and seeing $3.27, and that's supposed to last me 28 more days. I remember that shit. I remember it. I was there. So like, this is why I say, like, I'm not like the snob shit. No, like, I've been there. I have been there and I haven't forgot it. All right. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, to be all the way honest with you, my family probably would have given me money. Okay. But I wasn't trying to, I was trying to make it my own thing. I wasn't trying to live off them. My career goal was not to live off my father. Okay, that was my career goal, was never to do that, or to live off a woman, or to live off another, you know, a buddy or something. That was never my career goal. I was on that mode of like sink or swim type shit. That's where I was at. So, yeah. So that was a whole rant to my history. But the overall easy thing to say, I would say, for Heaven for Men is be happy with what you got and move on if there's an opportunity. Oh, wow, that plane looks real close. Well, that's a bomb on that plane. That plane is like gangster close, and it hit a hard ass turn. Scared the shit out of me for a second. But yeah, Heaven for Men, man. Like, it's really one of those things you have to make it through on your own, on a mental level, to fully understand. Because like, listening to me is not going to get it. Is listening to me? If you are listening to me for advice for it, I cannot. It's almost like a psychiatrist to a patient. The patient has to believe it within himself. Like, you could come to me and hear me talk, and it could probably be comfortable or funny or something. But I'm just being honest. The reality, like I tell you, I'm a professional counselor. You have to figure it out for yourself. And especially as a man, you have to remember, don't give up. Like, if you're on a path of trying to understand this shit, like, you wouldn't just keep reading, keep learning, keep asking around, keep trying. Where men fuck up, I'm telling you this, man, for every time, where men fuck up is they give up trying to find themselves. They give up trying to find out, you know, what's happening. Now, I'll say this. Now, if it's a woman, yeah, don't put that effort into a woman, because you're never going to know why and how what happened. But within you, don't ever. Now, listen to this and take this away. If this is all you take away, if you even made it this long to the video, take this away. Never give up on yourself. Ever. Don't do that. You keep digging. If all you can dig is a millimeter of a millimeter, all you can just claw out that grave. If you in that grave and all you can do is just pinch out dirt like this, then get the pinching. You just and then you do that for 6 feet. You just keep pinching that dirt. You just keep motherfucking pinching it. You don't stop. You don't stop. Because see, once you stop and you give up on yourself, nobody else is gonna hear you down there 6 feet underground. Okay. The only person who knows that you're 6 feet underground right now is you. Okay. So you got to, if all you can muster up the strength to just scratch, or that Kill Bill shit when she was talking about some like, hey, you better get the, don't worry about people laughing at you. Ah, he ain't gonna make it. No, you just focus. I don't know if you seen Kill Bill, but I'm pretty sure that was Kill Bill, where she got buried some kind of way, and all she could do was just hit it, and it was bleeding and everything. Look, and people gonna laugh at you. They're gonna give you crazy looks. Oh, he's crazy. I'm wrong with him. I'm telling you, because I'm an example of it. You just keep digging. All you can do is just pinch off a grain of salt at a time. Well, that's one less grain of salt you got to pick off. That's one more less grain of salt you got to pick off. That's one less grain. And see, the motherfuckers, the grains, they just piling up on them because they accepted it. They accepted it, and they're comfortable in it now. You know, they're comfortable dead. You see what I'm saying? So it's on you. Either you want to dig yourself out the grave, or you going to stay in it. And that's on you.